Chapter 12. The Sands of Mars. Though he had always been determined to go there eventually, Robert Singh left for Mars rather late in his life's agenda. He was already 55 when, once again, chance decided when and how. Tourists from Mars were rare on the moon, and owing to the very effective quarantine established by its gravity, virtually unknown on the home planet. Many pretended that they didn't really mind. Everyone knew that Earth was noisy, smelly, polluted, and horribly overcrowded, almost 3 billion people. Not to mention dangerous with its hurricanes, earthquakes, volcanoes. Charmaine Jorgen, however, was looking wistfully earthward in the Aritech observation lounge when Robert Singh first encountered her. The 20-meter-wide dome, a masterpiece of engineering, was so transparent that there seemed to be nothing holding back the vacuum of space. Some nervous visitors could endure the experience for only a few minutes. During his busy student days, Robert Singh had scarcely ever been there, but he was now showing one of his shipmates around his old alma mater, and this was an obligatory stop. As they walked through the three sets of automatic doors, he commented, "If the dome blows, the outer pair closes in 1 second. Then the third set operates after a 15-second delay to give anyone inside time to reach safety." "Unless they're sucked out. When was it last tested?" "Let's see, here's the certification. It's dated, 2 months ago." "I don't mean that. Any dumb circuit can slam doors. Has there ever been a real test?" "Like cracking the dome? Silly question. Do you know what it cost?" At this point, the good-natured bantering ceased abruptly as the two visitors realized that they were not alone. The silence went on and on. Finally, Robert Singh's companion said, "If you haven't lost your tongue, Bob, at least you might introduce us." He was still on excellent terms with Freda, but they saw each other less and less often now that she had moved back to Arizona, and Toby had won a Moscow Conservatory scholarship, to the delighted surprise of his parents, neither of whom had ever shown the slightest musical talent. So it seemed perfectly natural that when Charmaine Jorgen returned to Mars, Robert Singh followed just as quickly as it could be arranged. With his qualifications, and the still lingering echoes of his modest fame, which he had no scruples exploiting when necessary, this was not difficult. Soon after his 56th birthday, he landed at Port Lowell. He was a new Martian, and always would be, since he had been born off-world. "I don't mind them calling me a new Martian," he told Charmaine, "as long as they smile when they say it." "They will, darling," she answered. "With your Earth muscles, you're a lot stronger than most people around here." That was true, but he didn't know for how long. Unless he exercised more rigorously than he suspected he would soon become Mars-adapted. Which was not without its advantages. The Martians claimed that their world, not Venus, should have been called the Planet of Love. Earth's one gravity was ridiculous, if not dangerous. Weight-induced broken ribs, cramps, and interrupted blood circulation were merely some of the hazards that terrestrial lovers had to face. The moon's 1/6 gravity was a great improvement, but experts considered that it was not quite enough for good contact. And as for the much-touted zero-g of space, after the initial novelty had worn off, it became something of a bore. One had to spend too much time worrying about rendezvous and docking problems. The 1/3 g of Mars was just about right.